On today's episode of the Hot Nerd Podcast, we're going to hear some butterfly moments from those that have experienced them, those nearest work, those that have done learning, those that have experienced HOP firsthand. Let's dive right in. To another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at the Hop Nerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Hello. Howdy. Hi, everybody. How are you doing? I hope things are going great in your neck of the woods. I am having a blast. As always, every day is a good day to be on this side of the dirt. That is an absolute fact. And every day is a good day to choose to have a good day. And that's what I wake up and try my best to do every single day. Even sometimes when I'm a little grumpy, I will tell you that cold brew coffee makes me less grumpy. So if I'm coming to your neck of the woods, if you see me posting out there about, hey, I'm coming to Spokane, or hey, I'm coming to Toronto, or hey, I was going to say Brazil, but I'm pretty convinced that you can't find a bad cup of coffee in Brazil. I'm pretty convinced that Brazil has some of the best coffee on the planet. So I don't think, I might be wrong, but I didn't find any. I haven't found one when I go down there yet. So, but if I'm posting, I'm wanting to know where the good coffee's at. That's usually my main question. I might not say that directly, but I encourage you that if you see me saying, hey, I'm coming out to Spokane, let me know where the best cup of coffee is at. And if you want to meet up, that's some of the reason why I post that too. More than happy to meet up and have some hop conversations with you to be able to talk all things human and organizational performance. I have done that and I continue to do that. It's just great to get to meet people from around this community, this big group of folks out there trying to make the world a better place to work. It's just great to sometimes put a face to a name, to get to sit down and share a cup of that coffee, to have a cool conversation. Heck, just to take a selfie and be like, haha, we finally got to meet each other. That's really cool. Like, that's just a blast for me. And then, as I said, the coffee is just, you know, that's a perk. So if, even if you don't live there, but you know, like, you have the insider knowledge of, like, this is the place you go to get the coffee, let me know. Coffee or steak, those are kind of my two things. I'm always looking for the best steak and I'm always looking for the best coffee. If I have steak and coffee, I'm in pretty good shape. I don't need very much more than that. I'm in pretty great shape for the rest of the day. Back to being in a good mood. Those two things will put me in a good mood real quick. Now, it's weird today because I'm going to pause to take a little drink here. That maybe sounded different than what you're used to than my noise, my nice little cold brew thing. So my cold brew is here, but it is a little, it's empty. It's empty. So I've resorted to a sugar-free Red Bull to keep me going today, to fuel my adventure, to give me wings for this podcast. And this podcast is a great one. We're going to share some of our In the Wild recordings with a couple folks from Kinross Gold talking about human and organizational performance, in particular, some of their experience, some of their take on human and organizational performance. Now, again, I will tell you that these recordings are rough and ready. Like, they are not the greatest quality of recordings. That's on me. I carry around my handy dandy recorder rig that we just upgraded like a couple weeks ago that we have not got to a field test yet. So the next ones, when you hear more and more happening from our field recordings, and we're hoping to continue to do more and more of this sharing from inside of organizations, it will sound a whole bunch better. These don't sound like bad or anything, but I do have to kind of tweak them, and that might make them sound a little bit cruddy. And if you're here for the audio quality, you're probably here for the wrong reason. I mean, that's probably the best way to put it. I mean, I try my best, and I am fortunate enough to have spent my formative years playing music in bands and trying to put together like demo tapes and all the kind of stuff that you do when you're a punk ass kid playing in a punk ass rock band. Like that's kind of what you do, right? So I've got a little bit of experience with it, but yeah, I don't polish it. We try to make these things as easy to put out there as possible. And me making them easier means that you get to hear more of them, which is kind of cool as well. But before we jump into that, I'm going to shut up here in just a second and we will just roll. Hold on. Pause. Sugar-free Red Bull is pretty good. It is strange drinking it without vodka. And, you know, I think I prefer the sugared variety with vodka, that's for sure. I try to limit those as much as possible, right? But it is a pretty epic combo. And I have to tell you that I think with regular straight up Red Bull, I get a lot of heat for this, but I think Jägermeister is the go-to. And for me at least, I think Jägermeister and Red Bull is the way to go. But enough about that. Head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com. We've got a bunch of resources over there. I've got a backlog on videos I've got to upload, but most of the videos that we create, if not all the videos that we create, the intended final home for them is on the website where you can download them. That's kind of what we do. So if you go to the video player over on resources, you can click on, I think it's over on the side, and you can just click download most of those videos. And I've got a backlog of stuff that I've just got to get uploaded, like 100 videos or so, all the stuff you see posted on LinkedIn. My goal is to get that to you to where you can just download it and go use it. So plus some resources and all that stuff that you can download there. Make sure you check out the shop. We're adding new merch, new stickers, just new cool stuff. So if you're looking for a way to support some of what we've got going on here, you can buy a t-shirt, you can buy a beer mug, you can buy some stickers. That helps us an absolute ton as well. Follow along on all things social media. You know how much that means to us. The internet can feel like you're screaming into a black hole. So when you like, when you share, when you follow, when you tell your friends about us, when you comment, it helps us more than you could imagine. Just with the algorithm and all the other wonky stuff that you got to think about in today's world. Really, when you like, you share, you comment, you do that stuff, it really helps us take this mission of making the world a better place to work just a little bit farther. So again, it means the world to us. And last but not least, my year is shaping up to be a wild, crazy, and wacky year. If you can't tell, you've probably been following along with some of the adventures that I've had going on, and it has been amazing and wild and crazy so far. The rest of the year is shaping up to be exactly the same. My calendar is starting to fill up. So if you're thinking that you're going to need some help this year, if you need some help from the Hop Nerd LLC, if you need some help from me personally, if you need for some help from our little group of trusted practitioners and consultants that we partner with, send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. We do everything from single day to workshops, to keynotes, to large scale across organizations, massive projects. We do all of that stuff. So let me know, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Let me know soon, because 2024 is going to be a wash for me at some point, because I've got to take some vacation at some point. You like me being not grumpy, right? So I like coffee and steak, but taking a nap at some point helps keep me extra not grumpy. So again, thehopnerd@gmail.com. If you want to learn more about our services, again, you can check that over at the website. As one last thing, if I can get words out, my Red Bull clearly hasn't kicked in yet, but YouTube, make sure you follow us on YouTube. We tend to upload videos in batches. I know that goes against like probably every rule of trying to become YouTube famous, but we're not really trying to become YouTube famous, I guess. I just upload stuff when I can, so keep an eye there. We've got a bunch of old stuff that you can go check out, look at, just share it, follow it. Again, it helps us an absolute ton. Now, with all that being said, I'm really excited to share these two conversations with you today. I think you're really going to enjoy them. These conversations come from frontline employee, frontline leader type of folks within Kinross Gold. So I think you're really going to appreciate it. It comes from their Paracatu site in Brazil. And here we go. I'm just going to let them play, and I'm not coming back to talk to you again. So just listen in, enjoy the episode, holler at me if you need a hand, and love you. Mean it. Talk to you on the next one. Bye. tell everyone out there that's listening a little bit about who you are, your background, what you do, all that kind of sort of stuff.
So I'm Mark. I work as a senior chemist in the chemical lab at Green Rose Barakatu. Okay. I have been working here for almost 6 years, but I have more than 10 years in as a chemist. And one of the major objectives of the learning teams that we provide is to look at a specific activity, a specific risk that is chemicals. And we focus on cyanide because the cyanide has dangerous, mm-hmm. it is a dangerous product and has a lot of controls in interactions of different areas in different teams that have has work with the interference with cyanide. Yeah. So we try to look at this specific risk.
Right. And cyanide's critical to the process that you guys do here, right? It's part of the, forgive me, but mm-hmm. just from what I know so far, it's part of the extraction process, right?
Yeah.
That's how that works.
Is one of the specific extraction steps. And we have a pre-concentrated process at the flotation cells. Then we go to the hydro. When we get the material more concentrated, we have the, we use a specific term, the CLL process or carbon leach process. Mm. So we have a elution process, but basically, we dissolve the gold from the concentrated material and then we capture it with the carbon and then we remove the gold concentrated in carbon to solution. So we made a concentrate solution.
Yeah.
And how do you make that concentrate solution? We need cyanide because cyanide has an intrinsic affinity with gold and other metals, but gold mainly.
Yeah. Yeah, so someone was telling me the other day that I guess, again, forgive me, ignorant of the process, right? But there was somebody who was telling me that you can use cyanide or mercury, right? But cyanide's way better than trying to use mercury.
For the environment, for the person, for the people, because mercury is very hard to deal with. For example, you normally use mercury for dirty extractions, like small one person that uses mercury, because mercury makes an alloy with the gold. Then if you start a fire or if you heat the mercury becomes gas and you can easily separate it.
Yeah.
But the mercury doesn't disappear in the environment. It keeps going
there.
To the environment, to the animals, to the plants.
Yeah, and so you guys create, you produce your own cyanide, right? Is that, you produce it on site?
No, you bring it in? We buy.
Okay.
We buy from other suppliers.
And so you would consider this is obviously a critical risk, right, in your work world. And so you've done some learning teams, right, around cyanide. What was the thing that prompted you to do these learning teams? Was it because it was critical risk, or were there any other particular things that...
It's because it's a critical risk, and because we want to start with a critical risk that has a danger, has a hazard, and we know that there's a lot of controls, like in the nuclear industry,
right?
It's a critical there's a lot of critical controls, but the material itself you should look specific at him,
right?
But I think that the learning team's idea came from this. Let's start with a critical risk. Let's start with a critical risk that have big controls. All the critical risk has big controls, but cyanide has a lot of them.
Yeah, controls and safeguards, right? So
let
me ask you this before we dive into a bit of your the actual experience with those learning teams or that learning team. Where did you first hear about learning teams? Was it through Kinross kind of bringing that to you and discovering this different, kind of a little different process?
Yeah, I think that we have some tools that we are getting through all the time that we are learning. But the learning teams itself, I first experienced here in Kinross at last year. So the concept was introduced here by the team of the HS health and safety team.
Right.
So they bring the idea, they bring the training.
Yeah.
And they first start let's talk about this. Let's think about this.
Yeah.
So I see the idea and I think, oh, this has potential.
How did so you, when you saw it, you went, that might just work, right?
Yeah, I think that has a close relation with the safety excellence that we talk about.
Yeah.
And Blitz and all the critical risk process. So I saw the pieces making a bigger figure. So
yeah. And so you decided to do the learning team. How did that go? How did you kind of go about that?
During the planning process or during the entire process?
Just kind of what that looked like. So you planned it. I'm assuming you pulled people close to the cyanide process, right? Folks that are dealing with that every day. And then you pulled them together that first meeting, probably staying more in that learn mode that we talk so much about. How did the first meeting go?
Well, during the learning teams, when we put the teams together to learn, was very, very good because we have a lot of pre-planning meetings. So our team, our facilitators and the leaders of the process, we have a good relation during the learning team. So each challenge, each trap that makes that pops up, we could solve, and we have made a good way, a good path, and we could with a few drifts.
Yeah.
We could start and finish when at the point that we want. But a lot of things came out, and that was a very rich process. But seeing this training today, I think that we have a lot of other checkpoints that we can put some light on the process.
Right. Was there anything in the process? So once you started doing the actual learning team, right? The conversations, was there anything that surprised you?
Yeah. For example, how specific some procedures are. For example, for maintenance, I'm not a maintenance guy. Okay. I'm more chemical expert, but at the maintenance, the steps, the full detailed steps. Oh, you should open that moving part, and that moving part should have contact with cyanide. So you have to make a very good cleaning process. Yeah. You have to check, and then you just after the check is okay, you have to remove you. And even when you remove, you doesn't have the direct contact. So there's a lot of details. So when that details came out, oh, that's very good. And that's the point that we should look, because if that details doesn't, if they doesn't follow these points, we may should get a trouble. Or an incident.
So coming out of that learning, and you move towards kind of focusing on improvement areas and things like that. I'm sure that you discovered some best practices and great stuff that you guys were doing too, that you probably did some work on trying to make those continue or grow those. What did your improvement strategies look like kind of coming out of those learnings? Was there anything that stood out to you that was kind of that aha moment or something that felt really important that you guys improved?
Well, there's some points that we improve our information and how we communicate.
Yeah.
For example, we have some oxygen supply for the emergency attendance.
Yeah.
So one question came out. How much should we have? So you say, well, I have enough. What is enough? How much? Yeah. How many is enough? So we talk with the medical team. So they establish, we should have one cylinder per person that is acting.
Yeah.
If there are four people working together, we should have four cylinders, because in the worst case, we'll need a full cylinder. And then if we need more oxygen in attendance, we have more in the ambulance. So one full cylinder is very good for our operation, for our establishment. In other stuffs, like in some works that we have not frequent tasks, for example, twice per year, we have controls, but we look at that controls, but we should get a detailed look at this because I ask myself, why? I already heard about this. I already read the procedure, but I didn't have a full detailed follow-up of this procedure.
Right. Yeah, yeah. That's a really, both of those are really interesting because you're talking about that ability, that little bit of margin, if things do go wrong, for people to have some recoverability, mm-hmm. right? We have everything that we need present for failure, mm-hmm. so we can get out alive, right? Mm-hmm. That's powerful. And then that idea of that deeper dive into controls and mm-hmm. safeguards, because a lot of times we have controls, we have this, but the controls, we rarely ever have to rely on them, right? So we kind of draw that assumption that, yeah, they're there, I'm sure they work. Mm-hmm. But when we go look, sometimes we find maybe it's not functioning as it should, or maybe it's degraded. It mm-hmm. Things degrade over time, right? And we find even deeper opportunities to improve or increase that bit of robustness around those controls, right?
Maybe it's underestimate or
yeah,
with the time passing. For example, 4 cylinders attend at 10 years ago, but right now, well, 4 cylinders still is on.
Exactly, right? Because in our world, we design the controls usually when we designed the process. Mm. And how often do our processes change or we tweak and modify? And sometimes there's a control and process mismatch that mm. can happen that just develops over time. So was this your first learning team that you did?
Yeah.
So what did you learn from facilitating your first learning team?
Well, I learned that we should always, we should keep our internal voice of try to solve that, respond, mm-hmm. keep that quiet. I keep that voice quiet, and was a very challenging time because we want to solve the problems.
Right.
We are problem solvers. We are researchers of the solutions. So in that learning teams, I think that always in our learning teams, you should keep your voice down, keep quiet, and try to listen at more concentrate, mm-hmm. at more focus. You can, because I think that point, listening.
Yeah.
And then not just listen, but try to give guidance from what they should talk about and where you want to reach. What's your final point? What's your objective? Because sometimes the drift can have a bigger amplitude.
Right. So. Yeah. I love both of those. And especially your first one, because that's one that we all struggle with. Right. And I think back to growing up, right. As a kid, I always heard you have 2 ears and 1 mouth. Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes we all forget that. Right.
And that's universal.
Yeah.
That's a universal comment. Like our parents always talk, you have 2 ears, but 1 mouth. Yeah. So listen more than talk.
Exactly. Yeah. So last question, and you answered some of it right there, I think. But is there any advice, any words of encouragement or anything along those lines that you would offer to anyone else out there in Kinross that hasn't done a learning team, but they're thinking about doing a learning team? Oh, what would you say to that person?
If you are thinking to have a learning team, you have the first fuel to start the process. So
yeah.
This is very good. Keep going. Try to get more persons that encourages you and support you to do that, because it's very important. There are many tools that we already use it, but
yeah.
Put them together.
Yeah,
it's the key of the process, and have a step by step define it.
Yeah.
Try to do that step by step. Try to make some checkpoints. Try to think if something goes wrong, if the drift goes too high or too low to our limits. What are our countermeasures?
Yeah.
So that are the major points that I want to talk, that I want to advise, because and try to get a real good interaction with the facilitators and the leaders, because this team will try to support the entire learning teams, because it's like to get in the boat. Sometimes the waves go higher and then you go down, and then, but if you got some checkpoints, go there and you will have a good harvest. Or you will put the seeds and you have a good crops in the end of the process.
Yeah. Well, great. Well, thank you for your time, my friend. I greatly appreciate you sharing your experiences, not with me so much. I appreciate it, but for everyone else out in Kinross, I think your words of encouragement and those little pieces of advice will go a long way, especially for those folks that are maybe a little bit new to this. It can feel really scary the first time you go to do anything a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. So I hope that your story will give them that little bit of encouragement and those little bits of advice to just go give it a shot.
Yeah, thank you very much for this space and for your time and for your advice.
Absolutely. All righty.
Yes.
So welcome to the podcast.
Welcome.
Are you excited?
Yes.
Is it your first time being on a podcast?
Yes.
Okay, so I will start by saying that it probably feels much stranger than it actually is. It's not that weird once we get into it. It'll be fun. So before we start, could you tell anyone out there who's listening a little bit about who you are, your background, what you do, all of those kind of things?
Okay, yes. My name is Thais, and I work with the management system for around 9 years. Oh. No, 10 years or more. Yeah. I am an environmental engineer and biologist.
Yeah.
And I knew about the learning teams in HOP last year. Mm-hmm. And for me, this was one change that I think that I will change my life.
Really?
Because I like it a lot, this idea, this new way to see our type to do the things that we do every time.
Yeah.
But this is one change.
So you were introduced to these concepts, you said, about a year ago. Something like that. And we've been spending some time talking about HOP and operational learning teams over the past 3 days now. I didn't realize it's been three days, but about 3 days now. And we started chatting a little bit kind of in the hall, and you were talking about how this fits into ISO and these management systems. What's your perspective on that? We were just talking a little bit before the podcast. How do you see those two kind of lining up and how they work well together?
Okay. The management system defines many, many things that the companies need to do. First, define that we need to write one policy, and after to define how to identify our risk, mm-hmm. and how to define our controls or else. In the new version of the ISO, they defines that we need to listen the employees. Mm. This is the new of the ISO. In the new version, they define three topics that for me is the main object of the management system, to listen the workers and to prepare, to plan, to manage the system for them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So you can easily start to see how those will kind of pull together. It's giving you that mechanism. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. It gives you that tool, that mechanism to meet those bullet points, right? It's allowing you the actual process to go out and leverage the insight and information from those that do the work to better inform system design, right? So yeah, I think that's really powerful. You said that you had found HOP a while back and it seems like it excited you, right? So what was it about HOP that got you excited?
Yeah, I realized that what and why the reason to do everything that we do. Because in the past, after hop, we thought, oh, we need to attend the legal requirement. Mm. We need to attend the ISO. We need to attend the corporate procedure. And now I think, why? And why is the reason to do all the things that we do?
Yeah. Wow. And so with that, we talk about how these things fit together, these points, mm-hmm. and hop. When you think about the future, as Kinross continues on this journey, because Kinross has done a lot of work in this space, but it's still early, right? It's, mm-hmm. There's a long way. When you think about what that looks like 1 year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, and how all of this works together, hop and learning teams and ISO, what would be the perfect future in your mind?
I think that the learning teams will happen as a lot.
Yeah.
Because all of the principle of the hop, I think that it's not easy, mm-hmm. but it's possible. It's possible to do.
Yeah.
But one thing that the hop says for us is how to make the safety easy. Mm. And when we have one management system during all the many years, we had many years to define procedures, checklists,
right.
and many tools to control the things. And now we need to think more softly. What the things we need to do to make it safety without all of these tools. And this is hard because our mind, everybody think complicate.
Mm.
Complicate. Our mind is complicate. And we need to, we think that we need to define procedure and checklist and inspection to do safety, and this is not the right. only way.
Right. Well, and it's exactly what we were talking about, right? We're going to the people that have to use the things that we're making, and they usually pretty quickly will tell us where they don't work or where it's too hard.
Yeah.
It's just too many checklists, too many rules, too many procedures. And that's why I really love the fact that Kinross is including that in their principles. Make it easier to be safe.
Yeah.
It's not always going to be easy, but we can make it easier.
Easy.
Yeah, we can make it easier. The people closest to the work can teach us how to make it easier. And even with those things that are law, that are compliance, they can show us how to make it easier for us to be in compliance, mm-hmm. without all of the papers, without all of the checklists, without all of the bureaucracy, right? All the clutter that we tend to refer to in safety in particular, right? So you were introduced to hop a while back, right? And you've already started seeing and get excited how this will kind of work together. And I can see the passion, mm-hmm. the passion around how these things will work together. For people out there within your organization, or anyone just listening to what we're chatting about, for anyone that hasn't really heard of hop or been in one of these classes, what would you share with them to encourage them to learn more, or what would you share with them to make them a bit more curious about hop?
Until almost now, I had this doubt in my mind how we can share for everybody this new idea, because for us is one gift. And how we can share this gift for everybody.
Yeah.
And we have many tools to share this for the people.
Yeah.
For example, daily dialogue. We can share, we can talk about this. And of course, the learning teams about after today is the more important tools.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many different ways to share. And it's, for me, it's just like what we're seeing here with all the guys with the cameras, right? And telling the story mm-hmm. of human and organizational performance. And when you do those learning teams, telling the story of those learning teams, it really helps to build that excitement throughout the organization. Well, thank you for being a part of it. I really appreciate it. Hopefully it wasn't too weird being on a podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And I think we got some really interesting stuff that people will really look forward to listening to. So thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Did you feel it? Did you feel it? So I guess first I need to tell you that I lied, because I told you I love you, I mean it, bye, earlier, that I wasn't going to come back. But I was sitting here listening through those, and I had to do it. I had to come back, and I had to come back to ask you that question. Did you feel it? And you know what I'm talking about. I'm sitting here, and I have goosebumps on my arms. Passion. Did you feel that passion from those two folks? How cool. How amazing. The little tips and insights and perspective from those like nearest to the work, sharing some of their ideas, their thoughts, their experiences. Now, I think it's really important to say this. It's not just passion. It was bravery. And what I mean by that, it's really important to note this, that neither one of those individuals had been on a podcast before. That takes some guts. That takes some stinking guts. That takes bravery to jump on a podcast with a lunatic like me and start talking about hop. That's brave. And I love it. That's just a demonstration of how passionate they are. How stinking cool. How stinking brave. I don't know about you, but when you take passion and you couple that with bravery, that's pretty stinking awesome in my book. Thanks for listening, everybody. We greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hot Nerd Podcast, the Hot Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help of bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehotnerd.com or send me an email, thehotnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.